It's okay. I don't mind talking to him. He should be the lead interview every hour that we have him on. How are you, Jason?
Buddy, I'm pretty good.
You had a nice weekend?
I did. Yeah, it was fun. I had our first ball hockey game of the season, so it's a little different than there's not as much practice time, but it's just fun. I like coaching kids. It's just a riot. You know, even at 9 and 10, just some of the comments that they say in game or on the bench, and it's fun.
Do you get to go to BP afterwards if you win?
No, I'm not a motivator by gifts if we win. So I had some parents earlier that hey, if you score, you get $10. So I'm like, no, that goes against us. We're trying to improve passing. So I try to eliminate the, guess what? Now we have like a hardest worker hat and stuff.
Right.
And then, you make sure every kid gets it and stuff like that. And
do you have, if you lose, do you have to run up the side of a mountain or anything like
that? Well, yes. Well, normally we close the door and there's like a stick whipping. And then, it's like, hey, let's go, guys. Suck it up here. If we don't win this game on Saturday in May, we're never going to win a championship in our lifetime. So let's go.
So you're like the Peyton Manning video with the kid.
Oh, totally. Shooting ball hockey balls at him in there. What do you mean you're scared of the ball? Well, guess what? We'll tape him up in the room and away we go.
This is the game last night. I loved it. I thought it was a great guy. I love low scoring games. I love defense. I love Desharnais, CC Nurse, all the guys who often get maligned. I thought everybody showed up. I could say some Kane hammered Doughty hurt him, changed the series. But the coming out of it today. People are saying, well, they had 33 shots and a lot of high dangers. And I'm like, well, they're a little bit from range. I give Stuart Skinner great credit. He's got a shutout and he played well. But I thought it was a good team win, Jason.
See, it depends where you look. Because so natural stat trick, and I think people need to understand, natural stat trick, they just scrape the game sheet, right? Yep. They don't use video or anything else like that. So theirs is all about shot distance, basically is what they deem as a high danger chance. If you go to Sport Logic.
Yeah.
And they use video, and then they track, okay, if the guy's in the slot, but there's somebody on him, and he's 10 feet away, and he flubs a little wrister, and it's not a hard shot, well, they don't include that as a high danger. So they actually had Edmonton having more high danger chances. If you look at slot shots, Edmonton had more. The big one was Edmonton won more battles in that game than LA did. And, the other thing that stood out to me really was I know Leon Stratty was joking about it. I was on with him and Rashog about how he's never seen Leon Draisaitl block a shot like that late in the game on the last minute, right? Mm. But if you go back and you watch that game, because it's too late for my son, so we get up and we watch it again in the morning. It's kind of fun for me.
Sure.
But you're watching that game, and Leon Draisaitl on three different occasions, his backtracking was looking like Pavel Datsyuk used to. Remember Datsyuk would just skate back from guys and just pickpocket? Draisaitl did that three times.
Yep.
Right? Like that was, to me, the game yesterday, Matthias Ekholm, he might have had to be wearing sweatpants on the plane ride home because he talked about exactly what this team needed to do if they were ever going to win. You have to get comfortable. Now, of course, you don't want the other team, you only have 13 shots on goal. Like, I thought the Oilers actually missed the net and kind of flubbed. They have guys in good scoring chance and they didn't, they either missed the net or they didn't get it off. But they were comfortable for 30 seconds at a time where LA would be in the offensive zone and you're like, yeah, but nothing's happening, right? Like Edmonton didn't all of a sudden throw the grenade that used to be their downfall. They didn't do that last night at all.
Yeah, I really felt like they were, we know they can win 4-2 or 5-2, but the 1-0 game, I didn't know that it was in them. And I thought LA was trying hard. They really did try hard. And so now, the next step, of course, is not to get hurt because Byfield is hunting for McDavid and it bothers me and it worries me. Doughty got hurt, so I don't think he'll be quite the physical impact that he had. But you want to end this series in five, right?
Oh, 100%. Well, you look around the league out. We might have no series go six, although I do think Dallas and Vegas for sure is going to go six games. And some of the, somebody on those down 3-1, somebody I think is going to find a way to extend it to six. But I don't think it's LA. I picked Edmonton in five at the start. But the difference is, you mentioned the low scoring games, Al. LA hasn't won in 3 years. They had the 1-4-0 victory. But they haven't won 2-1. They haven't won 1-0. They haven't won 3-2. They win either 5-4 or 4-3. That's what they do. They haven't been able. Now, last night, I guess you can say they limited Edmonton, but they lost the game, right? Edmonton, power play, they score. LA, power play, they don't score. And that's kind of the difference in the game, really, when you simplify it. And if you're LA, I don't care. You can talk till you're blue in the face and you can be as positive as you want. Deep down, they can't be, they don't, they're like, how do we beat them? We can't beat them continually high scoring because it's 11-6, right? In wins and losses so far over these 3 years. I just don't see it. I think Edmonton, A, they've been a pretty good home team. They didn't play great. They didn't play awful in game two. Didn't play great, but they still lost in overtime. So I think they'll find a way for sure. You know, this extra day off will help. McDavid's still not 100%. I think that's obvious.
No.
But, you know, so if they can only play one game in a week and maybe the next round doesn't start until Sunday, well, that's a huge benefit.
Yeah. You know, you make a great point because if they can get, if the Dallas series goes longer, that benefits hugely a team like Edmonton.
Like Edmonton's obviously rooting for Nashville to win a game too, right? If they can. Like, God, you want to talk about a kick in the junk,
Oh,
Al.
My God. Oh,
you
got to put that puck in the net. What is it, Patrick
Stefanov? And
O'Reilly,
he's a pretty reliable player. If he gets a puck out, they probably don't score on one of those extra attacker goals. Yeah.
But the Canucks have, like, they're down to, you know, they're calling around to find Kirk McLean right now. They're running out of goalies out there.
Yeah, well, Eddie Lack, I'm pretty sure Eddie Lack's coming in, right? He's a fan favorite on social media. So he's a really funny dude, actually. So it's a, I don't know if you saw that one. He put it that he was just taking out all the goalies so he could eventually come back.
Hakstol out in Seattle, are you surprised?
A little bit. Like, I look, okay, last year everything went well. So I'm like, now maybe this was their plan all along because, hey, when you take over an expansion team or you take over a bad team, you never really get to be the guy who sees it through.
That's true.
But today in the NHL, so I looked after this firing, Marty St. Louis is now the sixth longest tenured coach in the NHL. Stephen Carberry just finished his rookie season as a head coach. He hasn't even been on the job for a year. He was hired May 30th last year. Mm-hmm. He's now in the top half. He's 16th.
Wow.
Longest tenured coach in the National Hockey League. So it is. I don't know if there's a job right now that has less security than an NHL head coach. So, you know, because honestly, I think when Toronto gets fired, guess what? I mean, gets knocked out. Marty St. Louis is going to go up to fifth because Sheldon Keith's going to get let go.
I agree. Yeah, he's
and, gonna, he, and yeah. You know what? He's been there long enough and they haven't shown anything. Like, he got 5 years. That's a pretty long time.
Yeah.
And they've really shown no improvement in that time. Like, maybe they can win a game in Boston. They sure as hell can't win in Toronto.
No.
Right? And I just, you know, he's made a lot of questionable coaching decisions, in my opinion. And that one, and hey, obviously your best players have to be your best players, and too often not, their best players don't produce like the other team's best players. That's just a fact, right? Like, when you look at the top guys in the league, look at McDavid, look at Draisaitl, look at McKinnon, look at Rantanen, look at, you know, Kucherov, go down the list. Those big guys, they show up.
I'm going to give you a chance to, one of my favorite things you talk about, and I agree with you totally. You were talking a little bit about it on Friday with Connor. I watched the NFL draft. I'm an Eagles fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the guys they drafted, are, if they make the team, not even as a starter, they've had success. Maybe it's special teams and they will build towards. But if you draft seven guys, you expect six of them to make the team at least. Maybe a couple of starters later in the year or certainly the following year because they're older players. In the NHL, one of the difficult things in drafting 17-year-olds is you just have no idea how the next 2 years are going to go.
No, get the next three or four.
Right. So when I was a kid, long time ago, you were 20. You played your 19-year-old junior season, and you got drafted at 20. And it was a plug and play. You know, you get drafted, you go to the NHL or the AHL, but you're playing pro, and you're now pushing for work in the National Hockey League. It's so much easier, and I think it's better for teams.
Well, is it a surprise, Al, that 1979 was one of the greatest drafts ever, 20 years old, and then 2003. And, oh, geez, what happened in 2003? Oh, that's right. There was a lockout year. So lots of guys who would have been rushed to the NHL at 19 were either back in junior or some of them, because of their birthdays, were playing in the American League.
Yep.
And then, shocking, you have way more success from that. Like, anybody out there can be like, what's the one connection here? Like, yes, I have talked about this till I'm blue in the face. There's no benefit of the draft. It's like the WHL is moronic that they, even when COVID came, there was their chance to say, you know what, we'll move it up a year. Simple, easy peasy. Nope, they didn't do it for, you know, drafting 14-year-olds, dumb. And even then, you know, even though you do it in Ontario and Quebec, but they don't do it here. But then in the NHL, like, you have the easy solution. You can still have the Bedards and the McDavids because you open it up to those 18-year-olds who can be drafted in the top five.
Right.
Yep. Right? Because, and for anybody out there, well, what about the late? No. There's 2 to 3 actual 18-year-olds. I'm not talking guys who are late birthday and then are technically 19-year-olds. I'm talking 18-year-olds. Yep. There's 2, maybe 1 every year. So I'm even leaving it to 5 which isn't even going to happen. If you want to draft the guy there, knock your socks off. Everybody else, if you're not drafted in the top five, guess what? You go play junior for another year. It's not going to hurt anybody.
It'll help the WHL. It'll help the junior league.
It'll help the players.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, right. It'll help the teams.
Yeah. No, I agree totally. Wild stuff in the NBA. We were talking about it earlier. Some veteran guys, LeBron and others, are out or on the way out. Changing of the guard a little bit.
100% it is. Right. You look at Minnesota on Phoenix, right? Like that's the, and by the way, that's the first ever sweep in a seven-game series in Minnesota sports history. The Twins have never done it.
Wow.
The Wild have never done it. The North Stars never did it. Obviously, the Timberwolves never did it. So that's, you know, that's kind of a unique little stat. And I don't know if you saw Edwards afterwards in his press conference. I know some people didn't like the F-bomb, but if you actually looked at him talking about, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns and just how dominant he is when he doesn't foul. Like, here's a young guy who's basically saying, dude, and he said it in a funny, loving way, but also like, yeah, stop getting in foul trouble. When you don't get in foul trouble, you're unstoppable. And like, you look at Phoenix, like that trade, Durant and them, it hasn't worked out. The guys are getting older. That's Steph Curry, LeBron James. They're all older now.
Yes.
And it's a new wave of guys that have come in. You know, Boston is still obviously very good, but you know, the Bucks, I think they're probably on their way out from the Pacers. And it's kind of good to see, right? Like, we're seeing it in the NHL. Like, Ovechkin just went pointless in a five-game series.
Yeah.
And his coach even admitted. His coach said, man, I think he had nothing left. He was balls out down the stretch for them.
Carried him
to get into the playoffs. Oh. And then guess what? He just didn't have mentally, you're kind of like, oh, you know,
well,
what do we do?
He's 40, you know.
Yeah. Like, and so, you know, Crosby had a really good year, but they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? So people, like, can talk. And people were talking about, oh, he should be for MVP. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're exact same goal forward numbers, goals against, when he's on the ice or off the ice.
No.
That's not an MVP. But anyway, we're seeing the transformation. And that's, you know, it just happens. But it's kind of come like a sledgehammer in the NBA this year, where you saw some big name future Hall of Famer guys get spanked in the first round.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. What's coming up on the show?
Well, we got a loaded show. We will talk, you know, a little bit about Seattle. But, you know, the Orders and the fact, Al, that they can beat LA anyway.
Yeah.
They've shown that in the series. They can beat them anyway. Some of the other series, like obviously tonight, it's kind of nice to watch that because I haven't really got to watch Vegas and Dallas a whole bunch.
Yeah.
But we'll watch that series tonight. Also, we'll talk some NBA. Andy Petrillo's got some interesting juicy soccer story to discuss. So yeah, busy Monday. Lots happening.
Beautiful. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.